So a zombie apocalypse breaks out tomorrow.
Whoa.
What are you guys doing? How are you holing up? Because your characters need to hole up for the night. Because things are about to go down. What would you do in your real life?
This is really, really so easy for me. So the first thing I'd do is I'd call Kelly. And I would see if he still knows that guy that has a bunch of explosives in his, like, garage or something. And once I can... this guy doesn't exist. That's, you know, legally I have to say this.
I'm honestly trying to remember if I know someone who has a bunch of explosives.
So we hit up that guy, and then me and my family, we make our way over, fight the zombies, the hour and a half trip, hopefully... It's going to be perilous. Let's be honest. Going from Frederick all the way over to little old Kent Island is going to be perilous.
Oh, man. The Bay Bridge.
You're traveling two major cities and across a four-mile bridge.
Yeah.
Yes. But there is no other option. No, I'll make it. I'll make it. You watch.
For the grace of God.
So once I make it to Kent Island, then we blow up the bridges. And the only way on and off the island is via boat. And Kent Island has everything you need. Let's go through the list, all right? You got some fertile grounds. You have, you know, generally some nice weather, aside from the occasional tornado that may land. You have a good supply of, I would say a decent supply of gasoline, because, you know, there's a fair amount of gas stations. You're going to have to venture off eventually, but, you know, details, right? And last but not least, you have a thriving squirrel population. You gotta think about the little things.
You squirrels, I swear to God.
You need the squirrels for divine providence.
Squirrel signs.
Squirrel signs.
How or should the squirrels know? Are zombified? That's not a good sign, right?
He'll never be lost with all the squirrels around to guide him.
Do we raid? Like I really need to... Do we raid Easton? Check the squirrel signs.
I mean, eventually, yes, we raid Easton. I really need to reconnect with this mystery friend who has enough C4 to blow up two bridges to Kent Island.
Not to mention fairly reinforced bridges, by the way.
Yeah, two gigantic bridges. Actually, three, if you think about it.
Yeah, the thing is, you don't need a bunch.
You don't need to blow up the whole bridge. You just need to blow up enough of it so the zombies can't cross. Oh, that's
yeah.
All.
Yeah, you just need to blow up a little bit of the gigantic bridge.
just a little bridge.
How much C4 can that be?
Here's the thing, okay? I don't know. I had a friend who went through school. They studied architecture, okay? And they told me about the metal bands around the feet of the pillars for the bridge.
Should we be talking about what you're about to talk about?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
Okay.
We talked about.
This is not a hypothetical about the end of the world. All the laws are gone, Jake.
Okay.
We set the scene.
Okay.
We can talk about terrorism all we want now.
It's all satire, okay?
This is all done with inside a Minecraft server.
Mentioned any of the president's enemies, okay? So we're good. Enemies or friends, for that matter. So, the more metal bands there are around a supporting beam, the more structurally unsound it is. So the metal beams are for reinforcement. So you gotta find the sweet spot between, hey, this looks like it needs a couple more bands, but they didn't quite get to it because the world went to crap.
Where are these metal bands wrapped around? I don't even know what you're talking about.
You've never seen them?
I don't think so. Are there like metal bands wrapped around the bottom of the Bay Bridge?
Yeah. Just around like the posts that go up. The huge posts.
I always drive, and you're always the passenger in your car.
I'm always the passenger in my car?
Yeah, Ariel always drives you.
Is it really his car then?
I thought she drove you all the time.
I drive 95%.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
I guess we both don't know things about each other that we think we know.
Before kids, I would say that was true because I drank more. But now I have kids, and if you're the littlest bit tipsy, they're going to fall down the stairs and kill themselves. So. I can't drink anymore.
Yeah, it's probably a good life lesson.
Yeah, yeah.
What about you, Jake? Where are you hauling up? You just going to go out and try to YOLO it?
That, well, I have a family as well, so I gotta plan for that. So our brother-in-law Matt, he and I had decided that if that ever happened, one of the best places to hold up would be a pet store, and here's why: they have plenty of bedding for one. Okay, they have, like, you know, the materials that, you know, you could use for stuff. All the leashes and everything would be great rope. You know what I mean? So they have a lot of stuff like that. Also, if you can stomach it, they have food. While everybody else is going to the grocery store to loot that, we are going to the pet store to get fucking bacon strips.
And
I've had bacon strips. They're not bad.
Well, also, most of the time, especially if the refrigeration is being, you know, is actually good the meat that is in there for dogs is pretty much ground beef. I mean,
right, yeah. So,
it's essentially ground beef. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, you can definitely work with that.
There's also something that I've seen. So, like, everybody... every, like, movie or video game, they always have, like, a cool car or, like, a Mad Max thing. You know, they got, like, the souped-out car. And, like, they always do a car, and they always get stopped in traffic. So here's my thing. A bicycle would go for so far in this APOC world because you don't need gas. You can slide it. You can slide into places. If you're really good at BMX, I mean, you know, you could get a lot of places on one of those bikes. And also, all you really need to do is to be slightly faster than the zombies who can't drive cars. And a bike easily does that.
Yeah, so you're saying a mountain bike. You need to cover some different terrains.
It would definitely have to be a mountain bike.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, like, I've only seen it once, and it was in an anime, where, like, a guy had a bike. And it blew my mind. I was like, why don't people use bikes in zombie cases? And I'm like, you just need to be faster than them.
I feel like I've seen one zombie movie out there where someone rode a bicycle.
There might be more, but I'm just saying, in my experience, that was the only one I've seen, and I was just like, wait, that's a really good idea. You don't need gas.
They're quiet, too.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If it's like Left 4 Dead zombies where they're attracted to sound, you know, all you hear is the bike gears.
The quiet, so, easy to bail off of if you do get in trouble.
Right, yeah.
You're not going to get, like, trapped in your bike.
Yeah, you, it's not like a motorcycle where, like, if you wipe out on that, you are dead. You know, if you wipe it out on a bike, you're like, ow, my knee. You know?
So. No, bike's very solid.
Yeah.
Bike and pet store. So pet stores. Are you going to Annapolis? Are you going to go to the PetSmart or the Petco? Or is there one on the Eastern Shore, something easier for you to get
to? There's a few pet stores around. There's the local one, which is very much like a mom-and-pop's pet store. So I don't know if that one would have the necessary supplies for me. But I'm definitely not going over the Bay Bridge because Timmy's going to blow it up. So I would drive. I would go.
Tim's there just waiting.
Yeah, I would go away from Annapolis, and I would go towards Easton.
I feel like if the zombie apocalypse broke out, I feel like the bridge would be the very, very first thing to be impassable.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. I was going to have to have a dinghy by Frederick.
You can go over the. You can try to go over the bay.
Right. Going over the bay would be the best bet.
Or steal a boat.
Otherwise, you got to head into the mountains, I suppose.
Also, you got a lot of watermen to just, like, ferry you across. I mean,
it'd be tempting to come over here and find me and my friend with my C4. But you also got the mountains there where you can just kind of go up to Cumberland.
Oh my god, yeah, Cumberland.
Just be out in the middle of nowhere, but, like, have resources. It's a prison out there. You can hole up in the prison.
That's what they did in Walking Dead.
Prison in the middle of the mountains? There you go. There's even a hospital out there, too. You could do that.
I wouldn't want to go to a hospital just because of the vibes.
Oh, yeah. Totally bad vibes, but good resources.
Great resources. I mean, you'd raid the hospital. You wouldn't.
Yeah, they would get raided quickly.
You wouldn't stay there.
All right. Jed, you and I, we're just going to go raid Easton.
Oh, I got the whole plan. Yeah. So, first thing, we're going to have to make a long trip to St. Michael's. To the farm where we will obtain large tractors.
Yep.
And combines.
I knew where Jed was going.
And then we're going to go meet up with Jake. We're going to go to the pet store. We're going to get about, you know, 200 bags of dog food. We'll put it in the
carbo load some bacon strips.
We'll strap it to the top of one of the tractors. Then we're going to go to, you know, the sports store. We're going to get some bicycles, and we're going to get them set up on, like, you know, metal half pipes that come off the tractor in case we get swarmed so we can make quick escapes, you know?
Dang.
And then we'll go and find your C4 guy. We'll meet up with Timmy. We'll blow up the bridge, and then we'll spend the rest of our lives as, like, Mad Max type, you know, road warriors. But instead of track trailers, it's, you know, giant tractors that haul gasoline, you know, something. We'll go around and, you know, become entrepreneurs and sell gas to people.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to get Wes, too.
Yeah, Wes, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Get Wes. Big fan of the pod, I've heard.
What about you, Mark? You got any plans?
Well, I got two. So where I am, I'm actually on a strip of water. So there is an island actually near me, and when I mean near me, less than a mile away. I have a boat. I could just simply go out to that island and just chill out there. There's enough. There's not, you know, I can't establish a farm or anything like that, but that'll tide me over for the initial onslaught. Plenty of homes, then you would raid and all that stuff, take and pilfer. But then I just realized I could just go along the waterway here, and it won't take the longest time to get to Fort Carroll. Because Fort Carroll is, 8 miles away from me. So I could actually take my boat out there and just hold up there.
God, that's a good one. Yeah, we have a good number of military bases. I mean, Navy itself is, like, I can point to it. Like, it's right there, so.
Yeah, and Fort Carroll has a ton of greenery on that place. I mean, it's just overgrown. Yeah. So, I mean, like, man, you just start cultivating. There's buildings in there still that are very structurally fortified. And, so,
you know, Mark, if you need a tractor to plow the land for you, just give me a call and we'll be right over.
But the problem is, you'll need a ferry to get you over.
We'll go around the top. We'll go around the top. Road warriors, man.
Hey,
it might take us six weeks to get there, going 20 miles an hour. But
if you could secure one of those Bay Bridge barges, that would be good.
Oh my god,
man, you'd be one of the. Jake, I can't remember if you played this game with me. Did you ever play Back 4 Blood with me?
Oh, yeah.
One of the coolest missions in that game was called the Clog. And it was like a waterway where there was a bridge and all these unmanned boats floated down a river and got stuck at a bridge. And it became a giant beaver dam of, like, abandoned boats that just floated downstream.
Yep.
Oh, and just piled up, and like once it got jammed, it just started collecting more and more boats. And you have to, like, climb across, like, hundreds of boats all clogged up. And I feel like that would happen to the bay. Well, the bay doesn't have flowing water in one direction, so I don't think that would happen at the Bay Bridge. But, like,
it has a ton of waterways, though.
Yeah, I wonder how the currents would affect and how many giant shipping container ships coming out of Baltimore or something would, you know, we just had a couple years ago, shipping container hit the Key Bridge and collapsed that bad boy.
Yep.
And I think about how fast that would happen in these situations.
Yeah. I didn't even think about the fact that all those big shipping container ships would be around. Like, it'd be so easy to raid those because you'd pop in and you just have to deal with zombies or other raiders, and who knows what you're going to find. It's a mystery every day.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if. And that it's one of the best parts about that. I'm going to talk about my favorite book again. World War Z, they talk about how, like, the entire society took to the water. And, like, they just filled shipping containers with refugees that turned into floating cities, basically, overnight.
Yep.
And, like, how that would happen here. You know, everybody would try to jump on a shipping container ship in Baltimore Harbor and get out to sea, you know? But, like, how dangerous that would be if somebody was infected, got on board with hundreds of people. And how that could go sideways so quickly.
Yeah, when you were talking about, like, you know, the situation with the Bay Bridge, it reminded me of I think it was Fallout 3. There's a part of one of the highways that it's a ramp up to, like, an interstate highway, but, like, it's like a few hundred feet and then it just drops, and that turned into, like, a town.
Oh, yeah.
And it's super defensible because the only way to get up it is the on-ramp. Mm-hmm. And so that, and so like that would easily happen, like with the bridge, they would just like cut off one part of it, so that way there's only one way to get on, and then you know, and then you know, the people would start occupying, you know, the underside of it and stuff like that. Like it would be pretty easy to just turn that into a defensible position.
You would need like a 10-foot gap on both ends of the span that zombies would just fall through normally, but if someone with a brain knew. Ask the person across the way to put down the bridge or what? Put down like a ladder to step across.
Yeah, literally, it'd be a board.
Yeah, it'd be impossible for a zombie horde to get across it. Yeah,
think the underrated problem that we would deal with on the bay is there's a lot of waterways, there's a lot of boats, there would be a lot of pirates. Because first instinct is, taking to the water would be good. But there's a lot of watermen out there. There's a lot of work boats out there. They make perfect pirate ships.
Yep. See, my biggest fear, while pirates, you know, intelligent life is terrifying, I just have this terrible thought of, we're on the island, we're safe, nothing can get to us, and then a tanker ship filled with like 1,000 refugees that one infected person got on board and turned everybody just runs aground on the beach. We're screwed.
Well, here's your problem with that. No tanker ship would ever get close enough to the shore because the bay is so shallow. The bay is so shallow. So, yeah.
By the way, I sent a picture of Fort Carroll.
Yep.
In general chat. I mean, just there you go, Jed. You take the tractor, you kind of...
Yeah, level out some things.
Look, there's a watchtower. There's a bunker.
That is a beautiful depiction of overgrown brutalism.
Yeah,
I love it so much.
Oh, it's so good.
We could make that work. We could make that work.
It's just the tractor getting over there might be the issue.
What was the fort in Fallout 4 you had to restore? I can't. Looks just like it.
Oh God!
Fort Liberty or something. I can't.
Yeah, remember. It was something like that.
Anywho, well, shall we get back to the zombie fight?
I'm terrified.
Oh yeah,
we're stalling.
I'm gonna die. I'm gonna die.
So where we left you guys was Theron and the Half Yarn both just got grabbed. The Half Yarn is in a bedroom out off the hallway with two zombies there, and then Theron is blocked and grabbed by the last zombie in the hallway, and you've destroyed the other three. And I actually forgot whose turn it is. I think it was top of the round, right?
I think so, because I think at the end it was that we got grabbed.
Because all the zombies moved together.
So it is Theron's turn. Top of the round. Oh.
Yeah, so he's being grabbed by this. He's like, "Hunt, you dead beast." And so first, what is the thing? If I'm grabbed, what is it? A DC 5 to cast something?
Yes, manipulate. DC 5 to use a manipulate.
To use manipulate. Okay, I will do that. This thing is grabbing him. He is just going to punch the living shit out of it with a rock hand. Okay, that's 13, so that's good. And so he is just going to smash this thing as hard as possible with an elemental blast. Let's see here. 19 to hit.
19 is a hit.
Beautiful. D8. Okay. 8 points of damage.
Swap.
Max damage. So
you don't
die.
You don't add your strength?
No. For these elemental blast stuff, it's just a D8. And it's just levels up like 2D8 and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's just going to swing again. Because why not? Plus 4 to hit. Okay.
It says you add your strength if you do a melee elemental blast.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Yuppie.
Cool. You gain a status, but if you make a 2 action. Oh, wait. Add a strength modifier, 2 damage from melee. If you take a 2 action elemental blast, you gain a status.
Yep.
Oh, shit. I could have been doing that.
So if you do two actions, you get your con mod, and if it's melee, you get your strength as well. So.
Well, the thing is, my strength is actually pretty solid, too, so I will...
But you could get both.
Does it double like that?
Yeah, if you do a two-action melee elemental blast, you're getting both of those bonuses.
Oh, okay. Well, the first one, I'm not going to retroactively do it, but okay. The first one was actually 8 plus 3 with the strength modifier.
Okay.
So that would be 11 points of damage.
Nice.
And this, the second time he's going to swing again, he winds up again, he punches with one action. He still don't do a one action because he wants to raise his shield as a final action. If this thing dies, though, good.
DC 5 first?
Yep, DC 5. Of course, an 18 on the die. Wonderful. I critted that. Elemental Blast. That might not hit. A 15?
That's a hit.
Oh my god.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Oh, plus 4. D8, let's go. Two on a die, so that's 5 points of damage.
Alrighty.
He just socks this thing straight again.
He's just like, get off me! Half yard!
And final action, ray shield.
Alright.
I don't know if that would actually help.
Alright, half yarn. Your turn.
Alright, yeah, half yarn is grabbed by 2 zombies at this point, correct?
That's right.
Yeah, he's kind of struggling with
the... No, you're grabbed by one of them.
Just
the other
one
just moved.
Okay.
The other one just moved into the room.
Okay, I was wondering. I was grabbed by 2. Had some rules questions, but yeah. So, yeah, he will, in this situation, said, you know, looks at the 2 zombies, and I said I wanted to smash the gods for a 3-way. This is not what I had in mind.
And he,
he'll try to break the grapple with the one that's grabbing, I think, in the situation.
Okay, do an athletics check.
Athletics.
Or an unarmed attack, I guess.
Let's try athletics here. 18. No. 18, yes, sorry.
All right, that breaks the grapple.
All right, and oof, then, good. So first action, second action, he'll raise his shield and trace a rune on it. And with his third action, he'll stab out at this the 1-2's direct south here with a tracing strike.
At the bottom one?
Yeah.
Okay.
16 to hit.
That's a hit.
Oh, nice. All right.
So they have low ACs, thankfully.
Love that. Ooh, almost max damage for 14 points of damage from the spear strike. Piercing.
Oof. Ouch. Okay.
Still and he up. Traces a rune on the target, and that will be his turn.
All right, Edmund, what you got?
All right, do these look like the zombies we had fought earlier?
No.
No, not quite.
Okay.
The ones that you fought earlier were really, they were husk zombies. They were super dried out.
Okay.
They were plague zombies, sorry.
Oh, okay.
They were plague zombies, so they were, like, covered in, like, pustules and shit.
I wonder what these could be.
Yeah, I know. So, I want to roll a knowledge on these, then, to see if there's anything specific I should know about them.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's going to be... Still going to roll Arcana.
5 gold says they're husk zombies.
It's going to be... Oh, God, not great. A 15.
That was exactly the DC I needed you to make.
Whoa!
Yes, it's a thanks. Zombie shambler.
Oh.
Okay.
It is not a husk
shambler.
Yeah, I'm looking for weaknesses and resistances.
It is weak 5 to slashing and weak 5 to vitality.
Okay, so same deal. Okay,
and then
that's good.
Resistances. Sure, I'll give you that. They have. A lot of the standard zombie ones. Bleed, death effects, disease, mental, paralyzed, poison, and unconscious.
Okay, so usual zombie stuff then. So, because it's slashing, do I see a board around me that could be used to slash?
Hey, what?
aboard, and is there anything around me that I could use to use projectile telekinetic projectile with?
You're in a hall,
piece of glass. I don't
really
know.
Sharp, yeah, exactly, board. Yeah. Well, you got two closed knife. Doors behind you. So I guess you can roll me a luck roll, just 50-50 to see if that knife you threw at Corbinian the other day,
earlier
in the day, is still just like in the hallway somewhere.
or if it got kicked
behind the bar.
All right, I have a D100 here that I have not rolled in a very long time.
All right, what is it? 51 higher.
Yep. Okay.
It still has Corbinian's dried blood on it.
The 60.
There you 60. Go. The knife is still there, right? Still with Corbinian's dried blood on it.
I go, all reliable. And then I use telekinetic projectile. Look,
Theron is right here. Defending me once again.
All right.
Theron will toss you like
so,
a ragdoll.
I'm going to use a hero point.
Oh, was it a natural one?
It wasn't a natural one.
Oh my god. Oh, okay, Jake. So you spent the hero point for Theron, but not Corbinian. I get it.
I remember that time.
I get it.
Amazing.
He knows Theron will
cursed.
Kill him.
Yeah, leave that.
Or this hallway. This hallway might be cursed.
Ricochets six times, goes out the window, and still stabs Corbinian.
Corbinian wakes up for a minute.
So you draw the knife to you, it starts swirling your hand, and it starts getting a little squirrely, and it starts heading towards the Theron.
Okay, so the memory that I use is he thinks back to his lower management job, his lower wizard management job, and he remembers going to visit the arch wizard, who he's like, God, he's so close to just keeling over. And that's what gives him the motivation to keep going.
He's gonna outlive that old bag.
The only way I can get this promotion is if he dies.
A 16 to hit with the knife.
That's a hit.
Okay. So I'm gonna use Foundry for this. So that it's gonna be. Let's see. 3d6 slashing for 10 points of slashing damage.
You send this knife whirling past Theron, like trims a couple of his beard hairs with that almost natural one, and then it slices the zombie in half at the waist. It crumbles.
Nice.
I swear to God. I swear to Torak, I will use it like an anvil.
That one is gone. All right, and it is the last two shamblers in the room with the half yarn. The first one closes and locks the door.
Whoa!
I'm no,
it does not close and lock the door. That'd be hilarious, though. I mean,
it has enough intelligence.
Never gonna dance again.
But it is gonna swing out and try to punch you.
Oh boy.
That's a natural 20.
Oh no, come on.
Whoa.
Zombie fist.
Zombie fist.
Zombie fist.
Oh no.
Reach out.
Oh boy.
Is there a
lights out. The target is blinded until the end of its next turn.
So he clocks you
in your temple and just woof. You just go everything just goes white. You will take. Let's see, how much damage do I do here?
Is this double damage?
It is double damage.
Oh, boy.
Oh, max damage. Double you will take 18 damage. And you're blind.
Okay.
And it will use its last action to grab you.
I saw that coming.
It has the grab ability, so it just has to spend the action to do it. So it doesn't have to roll.
I am now blind.
And now it's the other one's turn. It's friend. You are blind. Oh, yeah, I got to put blind on you.
Yeah, that's what I just put it on there, too.
Blind. Yeah. Blind. Oh, man. Wow, your vision changed. That's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, that is wild.
Oh, that's sick. So the zombies, so in Foundry, the zombies are now like these shadowy figures in the Half-Yarn's vision, and they're like the room is now just completely dark on him. It's very, very cool.
That's cool.
Way to go, Foundry. Badass. I haven't blinded anybody before. The other one's coming in. Your lowered AC, and you're blinded. It's going to be good enough. It's going to be good enough. That's going to be 22 to hit.
Yep. Oh, 22?
22. Flat-footed.
Flat-foot. Yeah, that is going to hit. Yeah, flat-footed you're going to hit.
Or off-guard. That will be another 6 damage.
Oh, wait. Did I make you off-guard?
You're off-guard because you're grabbed.
No, I broke the grab during the...
I just grabbed you. The other zombie.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Yes. Go ahead. Yes.
This is the next zombie.
I forgot to add grab back.
So you'll take the handles there.
Yeah. Yep. You'll take 6 damage, and it will also grab you.
Fun times.
And now it is Theron's turn.
So Theron. After, you know, almost getting decapitated by this knife.
Point of order. I hate to do this. The one is going to take a d4 of lightning damage because he did not move on his turn.
Dumb zombie.
From the lightning room.
Zombie can lock doors.
So the one that grabbed you the second time.
The one that grabbed me takes 4 points of lightning from the lightning rune.
All right, still there.
Okay, go ahead, Mark. Sorry.
Now it's Theron's turn.
No, you're good. So Theron is going to take a step here.
I can see you. I can't see your silhouette. I can't see your like outline of your character, but I can just see like your portrait, and, like your circle, the circle from your portrait.
He just yells, "Lafjord!
Ah! I can't see!
Hold on!
Ah!
I'm coming! And." Yeah, he's just this zombie shambler right here. He's just gonna punch again, like the earth surrounds his hand, and he just punches a little bit shit out of it. So that is going to be, goddamn, 15 to hit.
It's a hit.
Nice.
And I'm like, come on, I got +9 to hit. Come on. He's gonna do the 2 action on that one because now I can do that, which I won't be able to raise my shield. Yeah. Ooh, but 7 on the die, plus a 3, plus a 4. So that'd be 14 points of damage.
Nice. You step into the doorway, summon all those rocks to your fist, and just boom, and you blow the zombie like into the back boarded up window. And it just its bones are just crumpled and it's dead.
Beautiful.
Whew.
Just one more!
We're coming for you, buddy! And now it is Edmund's turn.
Oh, Jed.
Oh, yeah, half Aaron. Yeah,
I was
blind.
About to say, I get to at least, like, struggle and try not to die.
No, you're blind. You don't get a turn.
Yeah, blind people can't do anything, blind apparently.
That's ableist. I will, yeah, so I guess, you know, I don't think I need to be able to see to at least try to get this thing off me, so I will try to break the grapple first with an athletics check here. Natural 2 with a 10.
Oh, nope.
Bummer. Alright, I'll just try to hit it with the shield boss then. I'm just going to try to knock his brain.
Alright, DC 11.
DC 11.
Oh, that, yeah.
Oh, nice. Natural 15.
Okay.
For 15.
Yep.
And then I will try to smack him. Not terrible. 19.
Yep.
Alright. Try to hit him. What? Okay, so that's going to be 4 points of bludgeoning damage.
Hell yeah.
You're blinded, you're grabbed by this thing, you swing out with your shield, and you make purchase, and you just crush it into the wall, smash its skull.
Thank God.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah. Was that the one that you probably hit for, like,
so.
14 points of damage?
Yeah.
That had just 2 hit points left.
Yeah, he just starts smashing it into the wall, and he's like, ah,
get it off me, get it off me.
He looks back at you, face covered in blood, he's like, am I okay?
You're our pet.
I don't think so.
Okay. You're fine. All right, we need to get back to Corbini, and he's just asleep.
Okay.
Alright, yes. I grab my all-reliable knife.
The bloody knife.
The bloody knife, and I pick it up and put that in my pocket. Do we see any others coming down, or do we see any others like walking around yet? Or was this kind of like a random group? Your perception was +6, right? Yes. Alright, You peek out the front of the Pick and Pint into the streets. The sun is now almost completely down. It's about 7 o'clock, I guess. But you feel pretty confident after a few moments. You don't hear any more moaning. You don't see any more shadows in the dark. So at least for now, it feels like you have some time.
Okay.
All right. You know you have more entryways that you could spend time boarding up. You could set traps. You know Corbinian needs more sleep. He's not going to have his spells back until around 11 o'clock.
Right. Okay.
Why doesn't he just get a dreamstone? My god.
Yeah, why don't you just third level characters have a dreamstone?
Yeah.
Why don't you just got a 9th level item? Come on.
I think it's a
10th level item. 9 or 10. That's around when you guys got it. So, okay. So, we make our way back. What other things could we do at Wayland's Yard?
So, right now, we have... This current state is in the bedroom... In the north of Warland's Yard are two fortified windows.
Warland's Yard.
The kitchen window is fortified, and the one window in the storage room is fortified. That's what you guys succeeded on before.
Right.
And actually, I'm carrying that hour over into from that fight, because you technically were interrupted by the fight. So you spent the... Right. You guys get back from the Pick and Pint. Corbinian's still sleeping. The town still seems quiet, even though the sun is going down. You finish the jobs that you did before on the windows to make all four of those fortified. So now it is 8 o'clock, I guess.
Okay.
So between 8 and 11, you have the two front doors of Warland's Yard that are intact and could be upgraded to fortified. You have the back door that can be upgraded to fortified, and the two windows in the main shop that could be upgraded to fortified. Those were crafting checks. If you want to do a 10-minute activity to either refocus or do medicine or something else, you can do that during an hour of crafting, but it increases the DC.
I would like to refocus just so I can use Grasping Vine again. Because I feel like that's going to be extremely good when they inevitably break through one of these doors. Mm-hmm. Just to be able to hold them there for a round.
Yep.
At least, you know.
So you guys know that the Repair Act, it's 1 hour to increase the step of a barrier on a success. It's 2 hours on a failure.
Right.
So you have five more entryways that can be upgraded to fortified. And you have one, two, 3 hours between the three of you awake to fortify them. You could also do traps, which are a 30-minute activity that requires the same crafting check. And if you want to heal, if anybody wants to treat medicine while they're doing their crafting, increases the DC.
I am untrained in medicine, but could definitely use some healing before we start whatever
shenanigans we're going to have. I'm trained in medicine, so I could do that.
Do we find any potions? Or do we want to save those?
Yeah. I thought we found
some. Do we find any healing potions?
I actually have natural medicine, so I could use nature to treat wounds for you.
Okay, so let's just start with this first hour/2 hours, depending on your successes. So we're gonna do one retrain and craft, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Edmund, refocus, right, Edmund?
Yep, refocus.
You're gonna do that while you're crafting. Theron, you're going to do medicine on the half yarn during your crafting, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then. Is the half yarn going to do any other activities, or is he just going
to
work on?
I feel like since he's good at fortifications, I feel like I should just focus on that to get the. Because I will take penalties if I do something else in the meantime, right? So I think
If you do another 10-minute activity, it increases the crafting DC.
Yeah, I feel like I should just focus on building at this point.
Okay, so let's start with three crafting checks from each of you on three of the five barriers in the shop room, and then you can roll your medicine.
Okay. So are we still? Am I still getting a bonus?
Yeah. So you from before, I'll still give you your wand.
Yay. Okay, I'll take it. 16. Wait. Plus 1. Wait, there's a plus 5, right? From Half-Yearn?
For follow the expert, you get your level, and then plus 2.
Oh, level plus 2. Plus 5. And then plus 1, so it's a plus 6. Oh god, that's a 17 exactly.
Okay.
Because I rolled an 11.
So
or rolled a 10.
Yep.
Wait, shit, now it's a 16.
Final answer?
Shit. Well, yeah. It's a 16.
It doesn't matter. Because you're doing medicine, you fail. So your activity is going to take 2 hours. But makes sense. You're kind of taking time to tend to the wounds, making sure that your bandages are all staying straight.
I just imagine he's like handing me screwdriver, like nails, while he's patching me up, and I'm like dropping them because he's like, ah, oh, sorry.
Hold still. The half yard, still. He has a concussion right now. Like clearly, he got his legs knocked out.
He's taking some stuff out of a pouch that is just kind of like this herb, strong as shit, just smells like so pungent. He's just like, hold on. And he just smears it into the wound. It's good.
Got the smelling salts and everything. Okay, so you're... Oh, God. So, which barrier do you want to do of the five out there?
Top one, I guess.
Which one?
Door.
The top door? The back door?
Yeah.
Okay, back door. Alright, the back door will be fortified at 10 o'clock.
Jesus.
Mm. Half-Yarn, go ahead and roll your crafting. Yours is gonna... You're not doing an activity, so this will be the standard DC.
Okay. That is gonna be 18.
Alright, yep. You get it. You get yours in your first hour.
Okay.
So, which one did you want to do?
You said the top one will be done at 10 o'clock?
Yep.
I'll do this one here, then.
All right, so you're working on one of the shop windows. You get that done by 9 o'clock. Edmund, why don't you go and do your roll? All
right, so I failed.
How badly?
I got a 14 total.
Okay, so just a regular fail.
Yeah, regular fail, which makes sense. I did have to come in here and refocus and stuff. So so I was going to work on one of the doors to the south.
Okay,
the main door. So even if I only fortify one of those two doors on the front, it's still going to be good.
Okay, so one of the front doors is done by 10. The back door is done by 10. The one shop window is done by 9. So I'm going to have the Half-Yarn go again to see if he can get another barrier by 10.
Okay. That's the question.
Assuming that's what you want to do.
I'm trying to decide what door to do. I'm trying to decide if we want to keep this. I think we'll have the most luck if I help Edmund with the front doors. That'll give us the furthest distance from the entryway if they start breaking in through the far right side. So, yeah, I'll do the front door.
Alright, so you're working on the other front door.
Yep, front door 19.
Alright, so you get the other front door, so they'll both be done by 10. So all this time passes and you don't hear anything. You guys are working on these fortifications. You're keeping a look out the windows. So far, there's no more roving bands of zombies. And 10 o'clock rolls around. So you have one more barrier that is intact, and that's the last shop window.
Yeah.
Who wants to roll on that?
Go ahead.
Jed, you and I have a plus nine in crafting both, right?
Yeah. Should we?
Okay. Both
roll? You plus nine. Jeez.
Do you want me to assist on that? See if we can tag team it.
So I will aid you because you have had better luck with luck than
I'm afraid my luck's going to run out this last roll. quick question, point of order. There was a treat wounds done on half yard at some point.
Yeah, go ahead. And roll
I just
your
wanted to put that on the
sheet. Roll your treat wounds and then roll the healing.
Yeah, so I'm not used to doing this. It was a 2d8 or something.
It's two.
Probably.
Well, if it's a success, it's 2d8.
Yeah, because all I have to do is beat a 15, right?
And yeah.
I rolled a 16.
There you go. 2d8.
2d8. Come on, baby.
It's cool.
Oh. No, where's my icon for rolling dice? What the hell? No! Why can't I roll dice? Oh, screw it. I'm just going to roll one.
This is tabletop aim. You don't roll dice here.
I know. Well, it's like I rolled. Okay.
Adding is hard.
You're only getting 10.
Better that's than right. What I had, so that's okay.
Yeah.
Fortunately, while they're working, there's no other barriers. If you want to attempt a trap and do another heal or just heal, you could do that.
Yeah, because I can't really... I mean, like, the traps, I mean, it's whatever. I mean, as I said, all I could really do is just pull stuff out of the earth, like, to make holes. But I feel like having half yarn at full is probably more important. Because you went down, what, 18 or something?
The zombies did, like, 21 damage to him, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's going to attempt another treat wounds.
Okay.
Yeah, just because... So, come back. Come here. And this time he actually hands you a bottle of liquor as well.
Beautiful.
So, there you go. I figure you like that. Yeah, 2d8. God, I'm not used to healing anybody. Oh, fuck. God, that's 8 heal.
I am back up to full exactly with 8.
Nice.
There we go. Wait, really?
Yep.
Holy shit. I was like, a 4 and a 4. I'm like, God. Okay, mid-length. That's fine.
I'll take it.
I'm not a healer. I just happen to have some herbs I could shove in your wound.
And why don't you roll the the check on the last window?
Okay.
Yep. Gotcha. So I do aid you.
All right. Gotcha.
So plus one.
Plus one. So that's going to be 16 plus one, 17.
Needed that plus one. Plus one. That is a success.
Nice.
So you go to work on this window. Edmund is sitting there aiding you. Theron patching you up while you're working. Corbinian, you've been back there snoozing for a while now. You're in that big 10x10 bed.
I know, it's enormous, a big ass bed.
This enormous bed in Warland's yard. but it's cozy.
He's curled up in like a nest of blankets.
Nest of blankets. How's Corbinian sleep? He's a weird little morbid guy. You sleep like arms across your chest like a vampire.
he's actually sleeping underneath the bed.
Yeah, he does look like he could be dead. Like, you don't even see his chest rise and fall. Like, maybe it's like because of the blankets and the bed's so big and he's so small, but he looks dead.
Sleeps with his eyes open.
Oh no, he's dead. We gotta toss him outside.
So you're laying there, eyes flickering behind your eyelids. So you begin to dream. It's darkness. It's heavy, labored breathing. Easy now. Easy now. Feminine voice begins to coalesce. A dark, purple-robed figure is shushing a commonly dressed man. the purple-robed figure moves aside, and we see the source of the man's labored breathing. His face looks almost inhuman. Grape-sized black patches of blood lay just underneath the skin on his face and neck. Coughs up blood through his wheezing. Now, Aaron, it's okay. Soon, you shall be guided by the lady. The robed figure raises a wicked-looking dagger. It cuts his neck from ear to ear, and he perishes without making a sound. Figure murmurs a prayer while pulling out a cloth and wiping the blood, sheathing her dagger. She breaks out of her ritual, slightly lifting her head. What we do never becomes easy. We do it because she has deemed them ready to pass on. Never forget this, Corbinian. The robe figure raises her eyes and rests them on a younger Corbinian. There are those among us, even amidst our own, who would balk at what we do, saying we encroach on her domain or take fate into our own hands. What they don't know is that we have been charged to carry out her will. Look at him, Corbinian. Look at Aaron. See how his body rests now, that his soul is free from his pain. He had no chance. This was a mercy.
But what about his family, Sister Evelyn?
What about them? Does not the Lady of Graves know they are left behind? They will mourn. They will move on. It is the curse of the living, is it not? To love and have no channel for that love. That is why we must embrace the continuation of the cycle of birth, life, and death. We are the quickeners, Corbinian. We are the ones marked for her special work. Sister Evelyn rises and leaves the room, making her way out of the house. Corbinian begins to leave as well, a bit paler than he was before. He stops in the doorway, looking back at Aaron's lifeless body.
Do you think the blood veil will stop soon?
Sister Evelyn continues walking, but replies, Iosa is trying her best to rid herself of those she deems undesirable. It is our job to ease the suffering until the lady blesses us with a cure. That is not for us to ponder, though. Corbinian exits the house, and as he leaves, Sister Evelyn takes off her sheathed dagger and hands it to Corbinian. Corbinian looks as if he is about to protest, but the wizened lady, sensing his apprehension, curls his fingers around the sheathed blade. You are ready. Now come, child. There is much work to be done. You're having this memory, sort of in that cycle of sleep right before you wake up. And you just kind of start to hear a little bit of thumping from outside, from the other room, where they're patching up the window, the working, the dropping of some nails. You hear an expletive from the treat wounds where Theron's potent, smelly natural medicine got a little too deep in a half yarn's voice.
Oh, it burns.
Or nose.
It burns. Peroxide, like, right on the
God head. Damn it! Son of a whore!
They just hear,
Edmund, put down the knife! Put down the knife!
And he just...
Yeah, Corbinian stirs, and he kind of, like, wondering what's going on, he throws off the covers And as you all remember, he took that silver dagger, that low-grade silver dagger, and replaced it with that wicked-looking ceremonial dagger that he had before. And as he peels back the curtain, or the sheets, rather, there's the dagger in his hand. And I'm actually going to be rolling 2d20s because I get to use my ancestral geometry tattoo, which says, during your daily preparations, you manifest a visitation by an ancestor, possibly via a dream.
Oh.
So what I get to do is I get to roll 2d20s, record the higher result, and when I hit a save, a certain save that's also based on a die roll, I replace my die roll with the higher of these 2d20s. Cool. I could roll 2 ones.
I was going to say, do you have to take the...
have to. The trigger is you roll the saving throw of the noted type.
Ah.
It's not great.
Oh,
it's not great. I rolled a 3 and a 6, so I'll take the 6.
And what do you have to use the 6 on?
I have to use it on my next reflex save.
Okay. Ooh. So...
Yeah.
You hear this banging of them working on it. You start up. You grab your knife. You do your thing that gives you your awful roll. And the banging's still going on. And then suddenly the window right next to you, you hear. And then you hear a scratch. On the boards outside of this window. Tim?
Holy shit.
When you wanted to go to sleep, I had randomly... I had been loosely tracking the time, and I had said 3 o'clock, right?
Right.
The first wave of zombies was to come at 11 o'clock. If you had gone to bed any later, you would not have gotten a full night's sleep in. But,
oh my god,
you do not have 10 minutes, my friend.
I don't, you say.
You don't have 10 minutes. This happened, this like simultaneously wakes you up, basically. As, and then you hear the window in the kitchen. And then all of you guys in the shop, outside of your banging, you hear banging from the other side of the yard. The Theron looks out the back door, and as you go to look out at the back door, poof, on the back door, something trying to smash through. The night is here, gentlemen.
Oh,
boy.
It feels like the whole yard is rattling and shaking, as eventually all of the barriers are shaking as the zombies have now swarmed this place.
Oh, hey Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure it's not midnight?
It's not midnight.
Because daily preparations it says around an hour.
It does take an hour. It takes 10 minutes to refocus. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, right.
I'm going to hand wave that for this, because I did... because of how it perfectly aligned up, and because I'm not going to change it now.
Okay.
You don't have your spells for this encounter.
Okay.
But you'll be fine.
Yay.
Don't have my spells!
You do not have your spells.
Okay. So do I still have my spells from yesterday, then?
I'll assume so.
Because I had leftover spells. I had a 1 second level, and I had first level.
You can have your previous spells. That's fine.
Okay.
Don't worry.
But
if you survive, you might have time to refocus. Or to do your daily preps. If you survive.
Oh my god. Okay.
Alright, so let's start here. Where do you guys position yourself in these precious few moments as the walls are caving in?
I just grab my shield. That's all I got time for. Grab my shield, grab my dagger, that's it. No armor.
Yikes.
Are you didn't sleep in armor?
I'd be fatigued.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. The problem with that.
Actually, it's fatigued all that bad. Let me see how bad it is.
If you're in leather armor, right? Like light armor?
Fatigued is I gain a minus one status penalty to AC and saving throws. I'm in chainmail.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not very comfy.
No.
Man.
Yep.
I don't think I slept in it.
No, you wouldn't have slept in your armor. I mean, maybe you would have, but you would get that fatigued. Alright, he'll be... So, where are you guys positioning yourselves in the yard? Right now, you guys have successfully fortified this entire place. So, you feel as safe as you can, feel. But all of the doors and windows are shaking. So, it's kind of hard to tell if they get in, where they're going to get in. You guys can only cover so many doors and windows
I feel like the safest place to be right now is behind the counter. It gives us easy access to most areas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanna be like on top of it so I have like a view, you know, so I'm not like throwing over my friends, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Theorem would go above, like just beyond the counter, like right here. So during the preparations and all this stuff, like all these shelves that are like here and here and stuff. I mean, are all these still there?
I actually just put down terrain walls, so you can't walk through them.
Okay.
You'd have to climb over them. Mm-hmm. Or
yeah, because the one thing I did say I wanted to do to his strength is push one of these shelves against this door.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, just like shove it over.
That's fine. Okay, so I will delete that terrain wall, and that will be how you fortified that back window.
Yeah, so just because it's like it's right there. All right.
The back door, you mean?
Yeah, back door. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Terrain wall. So that center section is now navigable.
Okay.
I'll draw something on it. Whoa. Draw. Is there a little.
You just gotta look for the pencil. You can do some little doodles.
I'll do a little freehand doodle. So this.
So
area.
We could feasibly. Not worry about that then, for now anyway, and then we can just focus on which if the windows or the double doors break open first.
Yeah.
So you guys are there, Corbinian. Are you, Corbinian? You have time to get into the room with your friends. Like you're
okay.
Not like
okay.
They're not coming through the window this very second, but they're coming very soon. They're trying to break it down. So you can get out with your friends. You can position yourself however you like. You just don't have time to prepare
yourself.
Yeah,
I think, Vitality Lash has 30-foot range. So I think I'd like to position myself in such a way that I have, like a view on an entry point. So if I went from here... Like, yeah, I guess I'd be basically in the room with them. I think if I'm, like, right here, I'm definitely gonna have a good shot on the window to the far west. That's a window there, right?
Yes.
It's a window. It's, like, right over the stove, so,
yeah. So, get a pot shot before, you know, things get crazy.
All right, so Corbinian is right in the doorway behind the counter, and then the rest of you three are right around that counter in the open shop area, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Aura is up. Shield is up.
All right.
Shield is up.
And I'm spinning the knife, hovering it above my palm.
Corbin is just staring at it.
Yeah, I was looking at the knife.
That seems familiar somehow.
Didn't even bother to clean the blood off it.
Oh, no. This is zombie blood. Don't worry about it.
It's right, lucky. Right. Zombies bleed.
That's gore, viscera, you know.
All right. Boom, boom, boom. This place is just shaking. The whole place, it's loud. You can barely hear your own thoughts. And what happens is one of the main doors at the bottom explodes open. And
Actually, I want to roll for this one too. That one will be a sheet. Yep, that one. And the kitchen window explodes open.
Yes! Oh, God. I'm happy because I'm in range.
Yeah, I bet, yeah.
Haha, I'm unarmored. Oh, wait.
Hey, Kel, sorry to totally out of turn here. This door that led to that like room with all the stuff in it, is there any way in that time that I could have, like... Wait, do we want it open? Because I was thinking about locking it so that way they wouldn't get through there. But is that something we want to leave open in case we, like, need to get, like, more boards or something? You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I feel like it wouldn't matter if we sealed it, then... I mean, not even sealed, just locked it. Or just closed it. I mean, either way.
This isn't COD Zombies, Jake.
I was personally thinking that it would be locked because it's a simple thing when we're like in between hordes to unlock a door, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But
I think just locking it's fine.
In battle, it's valuable.
We just need to get enough points and then we can open the door, okay?
Right. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah, just lock it then.
Okay, yeah. I was just gonna say, like, what was the plan with that? Because I don't want a zombie coming in through that door as well. You know,
I think we make as many choke points as possible. So I'd say close it.
Okay, so close and we have a key for it, so I could even lock it. But yeah, okay.
Zombies can't use the key. Wait.
How do I make things walk through walls again? I know there's a control here.
Got an unrestricted movement.
Yeah, where's the unrestricted movement?
There it is.
You should just be able to...
Nope. All right. I was just listening to that, I think, yesterday.
All right. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Three zombies begin crushing through the kitchen door, and another three zombies... come crashing through the front door.
Right.
Oh, God. Okay.
And let's roll initiative.
Oh, boy.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Oh, now 20. Let's go.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. We have good numbers. We got good numbers, guys.
Sit, boys.
All right, Corbinian.
I'm well-rested. Well-rested.
Right.
Had a terrible dream, you know.
It's par for the course. What is your total initiative, Corbinian?
28.
Solid. Edmund?
It's going to be 15.
15?
Oh, sorry. 17. I forgot I had improved initiative.
About that. That's good for one thing.
Yeah.
Half yarn, what'd you get?
14.
Okay. Baron, what'd you get?
10.
Right.
He's focusing too much on the back door area because he's just hearing the noises all around.
Dude, that has to be so nerve-wracking. Disorienting. Just like, oh my god, yeah, just hear dun dun dun, and just knowing that there's something behind them trying to get to you. God, so many dice. So many dice are being rolled.
Alright, two of them rolled natural ones for their initiative.
Nice.
Fuck yeah. Sweet.
I get to go before two of them.
Alrighty. Corbinian, you are up first.
You know, I actually forgot that I didn't use any of my second level spells, because, like, what spells did I have? Like, oh yeah, I prepared that, and they never came up. So I'm just going to pop off my second level spell, and Corbinian raises up a hand, almost Darth Vader-esque, and grabs, or attempts to grab, the zombie that is coming into the kitchen right there. As I cast Bone Shaker for 3 actions.
Nice.
So go ahead and roll me a Fortitude save.
Just save the Fortitude save for that Zombo. Let's see.
Zombo.
18.
That is just
knew
success.
It. I knew it was close.
Is it?
So you take half damage. And I can move you up to 5 feet, or you can choose to fall prone.
What's your thing? Because I mean, it's not 19.
No, I didn't. I didn't max out that skill because I had to spread around because I'm a war priest.
Yeah, war priest a little different than than regular cleric.
Right.
Alright, that's pretty good damage. Thanks, Black Oak Workshop. The dice are treasure today, so I rolled 12, so that's 6 points of bludgeoning. And I get to move you 5 feet, or you could fall prone.
Given the circumstances, it's climbing through a window. I feel like it makes a lot of sense to just fall down.
Yeah. So just go stumbling over the windowsill.
It stumbles through this window, and you grab its body from the inside and just wrench it to the ground. And yeah, this thing will be prone.
Nice. All right, that's my turn. 3 actions.
Prone. All right. It is this zombie's turn. So the zombie that burst through the main door first actually gets in, and it is going to move up to the half yarn.
Wow. Hello.
And it is going to attempt to bite you.
Oh. Get some of that man meat.
Mm-hmm.
Poof.
The meat. Meaty man is.
Oh, actually, I can't bite you. He had to try to punch you, and he missed. He has to grab you to bite you.
Like that.
Alright, so that one that moved beef. And missed. The other another one comes in from the front door and moves up to Edmund, and goes to punch you.
Not the wizard.
Natural 3, natural 4. So 2
dodge
fat misses at Edmund. It is your turn.
That's where Edmund's like, that hits me. Wizard AC.
Okay, so these guys came up pretty fast. I want to take a step back to be back-to-back with Corbinian. Do these zombies look like the ones we have fought already?
They look like the shamblers from the Pick and Pine.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. I will throw. I really want to get a cone off, but I'm not going to do it with just 2 of them. I want to wait till I get at least 3. All right. Then I will do my telekinetic projectile against the one that just tried to attack me.
Okay.
And say,
"There's the knife.
That's my person. I don't know you." And it's going to be attack roll.
Come on.
Natural 2.
Oh, yeah.
So the closer he is to Corbin.
What's your total?
11.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so. All right.
Suck it, wizard.
Oh, that's. Yeah. That's how that feels.
All right. Alright, another zombie comes barreling through the kitchen window. Let's go. As it makes its way into the kitchen, and then it will make its way up to Corbinian, but will not have enough actions to attack him.
Phew.
That zombie difficult to rein. That stumble over your allies.
Yep, and then it's the half yarn's turn.
Alright, the half yarn will trace a rune on his shield, raising it in the process. Second action, he will attempt a tracing strike on the zombie directly to his south here. That is going to be an 18.
18 to hit?
Yes.
Yep.
Alright. 6 points of piercing damage.
Okay.
And we'll trace a Ranshu's Rune of Thunder on that target. And then he's going to try to strike the other zombie next to him. With a tracing strike. Actually, I don't know if I can do that. Hang on, can I trace 2 Runes of Thunder? Sorry.
Sounds like you can't. Sounds like a big old
I was about
cheat.
To say, I don't... Yeah, as of Satan...
I have no idea. I have no idea what the runesmith does.
That's true. No, I need tracing strike. Sorry. Got the wrong feed here. Where is it? Engraving strike. I'm sorry.
Does it have the flourish trait?
No.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, then
yeah, single action. You draw a rune.
You draw all the runes.
Yeah.
Draw away half iron.
Yeah. So yeah, I will try another strike, tracing strike here.
All right.
And this one.
Oh, are you restricted by how many runes you can trace in a day?
Tracing is unlimited. It just they disappear at the end of your round,
okay.
Or at the end of the next round. I can etch two permanent runes per day, and that goes up as time goes on.
Gotcha.
Etching is like permanent for the day with your preparations, but tracing is like a temporary action, so it's unlimited.
Gotcha.
That's a natural one.
Let's go. Let's go.
Oh, yeah, it's unfortunate.
Wait, do you have a hero point?
Oh, I do have a hero point. Let's try it.
Okay.
Yeah, this seems like the time to use it.
Yeah. You stab Corbinia.
He's not even in the room with us.
See, it's not just me, man.
Yeah, that's a lot. But that's a lot better. That's going to be 24.
That's a crit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
let's go. Alright, so let's see here. Rolling damage.
At least I got your hero point.
16 points of piercing. and another Ranju's Thunder Rune attached.
Alright. Ouchie.
And that will be turn.
Yeah, that one takes a huge stab to the gut. And it is now another zombie from the window. The kitchen window.
Sorry.
The zombie in the window sounds like a indie song or something like that.
Alright.
It uses
its two actions to get up to Corbinian. And that's its turn. My slow ass zombies. And now it is Theron's turn.
Sorry, I'm looking at something. So these two right there, you hit both of them, correct?
Both the two that have come in the shop window have been injured, yes.
Through the shop door, the one in front of
the shop door, yeah. The ones that came through the front door. Two of them have been injured.
Okay. Cool. All right, so Happy Arn is probably just going to feel it as well. It's just that he doesn't know where this... I can't ready an action, I guess, for this. Because I want to wait for the other one to come in, but I have no idea where it might go. So
yeah, you just have to delay.
Yeah, and I'd rather not. I'd rather just try to take out what I can. So a rumbling underneath just starts focusing directly in this patch here. And these two are going to have to roll a 4-2 save. And Happy Arn behind, like if he looks behind, just sees like the aura just diminishing smaller and smaller into like a tiny fraction of what it was.
Alright, the one on the left got an 11. And the one on the right got a 15.
Fail. Alright, that is 2d8 points of damage. That's going to be 11 points of damage for both, as I just casted Tremor. 2d8 bludgeoning damage with a base of 4-2 save against DC, and no one critically failed anyway, so whatever. Earth and stone in the area is also difficult terrain until end of my next turn. So, okay, one of them died. Awesome. Nice. So,
yeah, you crush one of them.
Yeah. So, the 10-foot square here, basically, is all difficult terrain, and his aura kind of just dissipates, and so he's only used one action to reactivate it. So, he has it up again.
Okay.
And that's his turn.
All right. It is the one that was bone shaken. It's his turn. It will stand up. Take that prone off. And it's too hard. It will move directly up to Corbinian.
It's all you, Corbinian.
Hemmed in.
Oh boy.
I know.
Blocked by Edmund.
The last one will come in the front door, and it will go straight for the half yarn. He's gonna take a swing. He's gonna fucking miss with another 7.
Yay! Yeah,
awful rolling on the shamblers. Never rolling.
The shield wall stays strong.
Shamblers.
And that comes us. That brings us to the top of the round. It's Corbinian's turn.
All right, Corbinian is going to press on the bone shaken one. I know that Phrasma has a plan, and I will take you all out. And fortitude save against my vitality lash. See, it lashes out with the purple energy of Phrasma.
12.
Oh, fail! You're taking
that's
full
good.
Damage because 3d6 vitality.
Go. Garbage! Oh. Garbage oh, rolls. You have to do a different, different dice.
Is this the first time you've done full damage with this?
I think so, but I rolled like
was
crap.
Rolling.
Can't be. That's, you use it a lot on a sulfur zombie. He just had a lot of health. Actually, no, he was rolling nothing but rocks for fortitude.
Fortitude.
You're like, it's a plus 14 to his fortitude save or something.
So 6 points of vitality damage, low rolls.
Oh, that is low rolls. All right.
But I get to proc a weakness. Yep. And with my last action, I'm going to actually slash out with my dagger. Because it's versatile, so I can slash with it.
How much damage did you say you did again?
6 vitality.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I think if I could get a good hit off, I think I could take it out. 14 to hit?
Hit.
Nice, thank God.
I'm going to use my gelatinous cube Black Oak Workshop D6. I have to count the number of bones and adventure gear.
I love that die so much.
I got 5. So 5, so 7, 5 plus 2 is 7 points of slashing damage.
He slit his neck just like Evelyn killed Aaron, and his head just rolls off the back of his body.
Oh, wow.
Take the frightened condition.
Just looks down, it's like, you're at rest now.
Well, can rest all at once, but it is now the one in front of the Half Yarn's turn. And I've got a new dice to roll because my other green was not working. My dragon green was letting me down with these zombies. The husk zombie like sucked all of my good rolls out of me. I mean the sulfur zombie.
Sulfur.
Oh, the sulfur. Yeah.
Yeah. There we go. Let's fucking go. All right. It's gonna bite. It is going to punch you with a 26.
That's gonna hit.
Let's go. Alright. Stupid plus 3 with your AC and your shield.
Shield block!
Bullshit. 8 damage.
Okay, I will absorb 4 of that with my shield.
And it will use its last action to grab you.
Fun times.
Oh, not enfeebled.
Hate the grab.
Not enfeebled. Grab. There you go. So you are grabbed by that zombie. Whoa, which zombie did I kill? Oh, yeah, two of them dead. Okay, and now it is Edmund's turn.
All right, I really got to help out Corbinian here because I need him. we need him most of all. Sorry, you two.
so fine. We're just all leave. Fuck it.
We're just gonna leave. I want to do a telekinetic projectile to the one I can't. There's the one that's like directly in melee with me, and I'm not.
That one's got cover from your ranged attack.
I was gonna say, so the other one then is the most clear one. Okay.
Just have to throw it over Corbidius.
It's never gone wrong before. Natural 20.
Here we go.
Oh!
Natural 20.
Send it to the positive energy plane.
Yep. And I gotta say, that's the spell crit, right, Kel?
Spell crit.
Yeah.
He says that it's going to be like teleport zombie 200 feet in the air.
And you got the dumbest spell crit.
Of course.
You're going to hate this. But it's also like great for you and for Edmund.
Just stab Corbin.
Such a character. Magical glow. The target glows for 1 minute with the effect of fairy fire.
Well... You
double
know.
Damage.
Could you imagine if you got that in like a stealth situation? It's like
I did, yeah.
Gosh.
I'm actually a little worried because, like, is that going to glow and let all the other zombies know we're here?
That's right? My next thought. There's a zombie six miles down the road, sees a glowing building.
Oh. I think I see something over there. Like, no. There's nothing happening here. All right, so slashing damage, roll damage. So it's going to be not bad. 9 doubled to 18 slashes.
Nice. Ooh.
Whoa. Oh, I killed it in one
nice.
Hit.
Nice.
Oh, yes.
Sick.
Okay. And then I don't have any one actions. Actually, I will cast Glass Shield. So if he takes a swing at me, then I will use a reaction.
Glass Shield.
All right. Glass Shield, yeah. A little bit different than regular shield.
It is that zombie close to you's turn, but it does not swing at you. Since you're Binion.
Yeah. He's squishy, squishy corbs.
He is going to try to punch you. 15.
Wah, I misses. I'm shocked.
Bad. Bad rolls. It's going to try to punch you again.
Mm-hmm.
No. Misses again. So, brings out both times. Misses. Terrible rolls.
Wow.
When
I started my turn, I was like, I have to, like, I'm going to get hit by all three zombies because all my plans are going to fail. And then I kill one, and Ben kills one, and then it misses.
Mm-hmm. Half yarn. Your turn.
All right. So, hear me out. So, I marked the dead zombie to my southwest with a Ranchu's Rune of Thunder. And it fell to the ground. And the rune states that at the end of its turn, well, the first... did the one directly to my south go yet? Can't remember. I think it did. It should take 1d4.
Yeah, the one directly to your south... Should take damage. 1d4
because it didn't move, so it takes 3 points of thunder.
It died.
Oh, sick.
Oh, shit. That's awesome.
Oh, cool.
And there's just this other one right here, right now, that we can see.
Yep, just the other one. The one that came through the
door
last.
I was going to make an argument that it should also take 1d4 when its turn comes around, because the zombie at its feet, it still has the rune on it, technically.
Well, read the rune.
I was going to read it to you again.
Is it a lightning bolt that comes down and strikes the area, or does the zombie, just get electrocuted?
I'll read it. This vertical rune is often carved on tall towers to draw lightning and shield the buildings below it. If the bearer does not take a move action at least once on its turn, lightning finds it at the end of its turn. So I guess it does technically target the body.
Yeah, I'm going to say that targets the creature.
I knew it was a stretch, but just in case I could get an extra d4 in here.
It's always worth it. Always worth it to ask.
Look, it's always a no.
Specifically said the bearer. That was the language I was looking for.
Gotcha. Yeah. So in that case, since the other guy's dead, he will. Well, who had me grabbed? That's my question.
The one that just died grabbed you.
So I'm no longer.
Well, I think so. Yeah, the one that.
All right, then I will no longer be grabbed, and I will raise my shield first, as per usual. And then I will trace a preservation rune, the Sun Diatric Rune of Preservation, on my spear. And then I will invoke the Rune of Whetstones on my spear. So I slam the butt of my spear into the ground, and a bunch of, metaphysical razors come out, or, cutting lines comes out of his spear, and... we'll attack this other zombie with slashing damage that we need.
Swing.
Invocation. The essence of sharpness is released outward from the rune, dealing 2d6 slashing damage to the creature adjacent to the rune bearer with a basic fortitude save.
That's sick.
Yeah. Got 14 on the fortitude save.
Sick, he fails.
It's gonna nice.
Be garbage. 8
points of slashing damage. And procs the weakness.
8 points. Alright, oh yeah. Extra damn. Alright. Bunch of guts spill out of it.
And that will right, be and else? That will be turn, and the rune reconstitutes itself on the spear where normally it would fade away.
Alright. Theron, you're up.
Okay. So Theron is going to, seeing that like he's just all these zombies are just dropping, he's gonna take a move action, move in front of this one. He's just trying to get rid of this. So second action, he's gonna ball up his fist with a bunch of earth surrounding it and just punch. That is a 21 to hit.
21.
Hit.
21.
Okay. Oh, okay, that's not bad. So that is 9 points of bludgeoning damage. Since using strength modifier.
Crumble its body. Ooh, dead.
Nice. Just nice. Dead. And with his final action, he is going to run into the other room, just linebackers through every... Wait, that's a fireplace, right? So I can't step
yeah,
here.
Can't go there.
Well, he steps next to Corbinian, if anything, that he makes a nice target.
Yay.
Okay.
Cool.
And it is Corbinian's turn.
You know you just gotta roll that fortitude save as that vitality lashes out at you.
Natural 20.
No, natural.
My
one.
Last zombie. My last zombie cornered in the kitchen.
I'm trying to get 3 a.m.
21.
Okay, you succeed.
You proc the weakness.
But half damage, so I still proc the weakness, and you're gonna take 2 points of damage.
Plus whatever.
Wait, you rolled 4 points total?
Yeah. On 3d6.
Oh my god.
I have been rolling garbage.
Oh my god.
May I remind the audience it is not Black Oak Workshop's fault. They are merely a bystander in my terrible luck.
They are a conduit. Which my bad luck flows.
I'm going to keep the conduit going with a slash of my dagger. Ah!
Cut his ankles off.
I like the magic and dagger combo.
Alright, Kelly, I'm about to end this battle with a nat 20.
Oh, yeah. See if it does something besides
bold statement
glows.
That 6 zombies is the entire
combat. Glowing zombie on the ground.
Zombie glows.
Oh, baby. Ruptured abdominal cavity. Triple damage. Ooh. And the target's fatigued.
Wait, you could think I rolled minimum damage. That'd be 9 points of slashing.
It's enough.
with the
triple damage, you managed to kill it with 13 hit points left.
That'll do, Pig. That'll do.
Oh.
Well.
We did it, guys. We survived the night.
You survived a round of zombies. So the rattling around the building starts to subside after a few moments. And no more zombies come through the openings. Huh. And what was out there seems to retreat.
Really?
Okay.
Huh. Interesting.
It's interesting. The whole building was rattling. 6 zombies came in. We took care of them, and then it retreats.
Yeah.
Very strange. Can Theron go up to the window since he has dark vision? Just peer out into the darkness?
Yes. So you look out there, and you see shadows like retreating back into the town.
Huh.
That window in front of you is completely destroyed.
Oh.
Okay. The front door is also completely destroyed. You also have the back door has been damaged.
Yeah.
And is no longer fortified. And one of the shop windows, the southern shop window, is also now damaged and no longer fortified. So you have 2 destroyed entryways and 2 intact entryways.
Okay,
we'll see what you do with that next time.
God
dang it.
Steel doors.
I need my daily preparations.
Nope.
Such a good idea.